Well, aren't you glad that you hold a clear title to a mansion? Amen. I thank the good Lord for that. Amen. I appreciate His goodness and His grace and His mercy. And I'm so glad that I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, if you would, tonight. And I'll try to share with you what the Lord has put on my heart to share with you this afternoon. And you pray for me as I try to do that. I'll be honest with you. Here's my notes. This is it. So you pray for me. And I appreciate the Lord putting something on my heart to preach. And I apologize to you. I do not have my... I normally don't preach with my coat on anyway, but I left my coat at home. I don't even have it with me. And so I do apologize if that offends you. Get over it. First Samuel chapter number 17. First Samuel chapter number 17. Try to share with you what the Lord has given me for the evening. In light of the days we're living in, boy, things look dull. Amen.
Amen.
Things are looking difficult. If you listen to the news, if you listen to the media, the things that they say, it seems that, boy, these days are really some devastating things going on. It seems that the attack is primarily toward those that's trying to live godly, those that represent the church, those that represent Christ. And listen, I'm telling you, there's a crowd out there now that's saying that that all Christians are to come together to stand together. Don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Roman Catholic Church, I will not stand with the Roman Catholic Church. They say that they are Christians and they represent so many hundreds of thousands of Christians. The Roman Catholic Church, according to my Bible, is out of the will of God, doesn't follow the Word of God, and has persecuted Christians from the day it began. And I'm not going to stand with the Roman Catholic Church. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. And so be careful what you hear. There's so many things out there. If you hear something, you come and ask me, "Preacher, I heard that they say that we need to line up with them." Well, what does the Bible say? Amen. We stand with God. That's who we stand with. There is a crowd that's trying to get folks to follow them and to... It's called the ecumenical movement. It came through at one time, and a lot of folks got on the bandwagon, and everybody just kind of joined together. Well, we all serve the same God. In these days, the difficult days we're looking at, it seems like they're trying to enforce that again. We serve the same God. Let's all fight this thing together. Now, there are some things that we're going to have to fight together. But I will not stand and say that I agree with everything that they do. Amen? I'm not going to stand with them. I'm not going to lower my standard to run with somebody else. Amen? I'm going to stand on the Word of God until Jesus takes me home. Amen? And I believe that's what God is pleased with. But in light of the days we're living in, I want to try to share some things with you tonight that... Listen, it's not going to be pleasing. Some of the things I'm going to share with you could be a little upsetting to you. But listen, we're living in a day of reality. Amen. This is a day of reality. This ain't a day of fairy tales. I could preach a lot of different things from the Bible tonight, and I can tell you everything's going to be roses, and you'll never have to worry about anything, but I'm not going to lie to you. Now, I want to share with you from the Scriptures tonight just a thought or two from the Bible, and I'm going to share some news with you. And just try to help you a little bit tonight if I can. So you pray for me as I try to do that. And I want to say this to the church. Everybody's not here that was here this morning. I did not apologize for my actions this morning. That was the power of God on the preacher.
Amen.
Only thing I can tell you is I was translated to another world for just a little while.
Amen.
And I don't apologize. I hope that you enjoyed that as much as I did.
Amen.
I'm telling you, it's just good to be in the presence of the Lord, and when He gets on me like that, I don't apologize. I wish every service could be that way. I do. I wish it could be, but I know it can't be. And this service is probably not going to end up that way neither. But look in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to call your attention to some verses. We understand in 1 Samuel chapter 17, it's the battle of Goliath, the Philistine giant that comes to Israel, comes at Israel, and he's coming to fight. He's coming to kill anyone that would try to come at him. He's bringing his attitude and coming in like he's the man. And he's 9 foot 9 inches tall. He's a pretty good sized feller. And the Bible tells us as we read through these verses that the men of Israel, no doubt, was afraid. They was scared of him. They was afraid of him because of his size. They was men of war. They was men that fought many battles. Yet here was the one man that was huge. He was a big man. He was a giant, the Bible says. As we look at David and his brothers and all that's taking place in the Bible, let me just start reading in verse number, let's see. We'll start in verse number 4. The Bible says, "And there went out of the champion out of the camp of Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs." I guess that's greaves. It looks like greaves to me. "A target of brass between his shoulders." That greaves is leg armors. That's what it's talking about. Leg armors from the thighs to the ankles. That's what that is. "And a staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and a spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron. One bearing a shield went before him." Listen, I believe the Scriptures gives us a definition or an explanation of what he was and what he carried to get us to understand how big a man this really was. This wasn't your average football player. This dude was huge. 9 foot tall. He's huge. And he's carrying all that weight. I mean, I'm talking, it gives us the description of his spearhead, how much the spearhead, well, it took a man to carry that, a huge man. "He stood and cried unto the armies of Israel," in verse number 8, "and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us." Let me borrow your minds for just 1 minute. Does that sound like anything that we're facing in these days? Does that sound anywhere close to where we're at in these days? If they can stop us, then we'll if they'll stop, if you can stop us, then we'll join you. But if you can't stop us, then you've got to join us. The Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day." Verse number 10. "Give me a man that we may fight together." Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine. They were dismayed. Watch this now. The Bible says, "and greatly afraid." Now, David was the son of the Ephraite of Bethlehem. I probably didn't pronounce that right either. Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next was Abinadab, and the 3rd was Shammah. If that's not correct, don't worry about it. Do the best you can. That's what I did. The 3 eldest sons, they went with Saul to battle. David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. Verse 15, the Bible says, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. But listen, I know that this is very familiar scripture, but just stay with me for a few minutes, all right? The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephod of this parched corn and these 10 loaves. Run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Jesse was concerned of his sons, his three eldest sons being there with Saul in the battle that was going on. It's been 40 days. And Jesse says to David, take this food and go check on your brothers and bring me back a report how your brothers are doing. That was the only purpose that Jesse had in sending David to go check on those brothers. The Bible says in verse 19, now Saul and they, the brothers, all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. They're going at it, son. They're fighting. There's a battle going on. They're going at it. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. He'd come out once again. He'd been coming out early in the morning and again in the evening. He's been coming out and saying, is there a man? Send me a man. Send me somebody and I'll fight him. And if he can whoop me, then we'll join you. 40 days they've been going through this and nobody was... Hey, the Bible says they were scared and they was greatly afraid of that Philistine giant. David left his carriage, verse 22, verse 23. And as he talked with them... Behold, there came this Philistine giant called Goliath. David heard the words that he said, and all the men of Israel, verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were sore afraid. Men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done to this man or to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David had a backbone. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is running down and trying to scare and defying the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? David had a backbone. And the people answered him, and after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now his eldest brother, or the eldest brother, began to make fun of David. So why are you not back there tending the sheep, little shepherd boy? Who do you think you are, little shepherd boy? Why are you not back there tending to the sheep? Why'd you come down? You just come down here to see the fight. And listen, there's a lot of people out there that just want to see the fight. Is everybody listening? Is everybody with me? There's a lot of folks out there just want to see the fight. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to do anything. They just want to see the fight. That's what makes them happy. Sit on the sideline. Thank you, Brother Roland. That's exactly right. I'm going to sit on the sideline and watch the fight. And here his brother was saying, what you come down here for? You come down just to see the battle. And David said in verse 29, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? I want to preach tonight on that thought. Is there not a cause? David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake in the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. Now, I don't know if you understand that verse of Scripture or not, but David's brother was standing there and he said those things to him, and David says, is there not a cause? And turns from him and begins to talk to somebody else. Is there not a cause? You ain't listening to that hogwash. Amen? Stay with me. We're going to. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail. because of him, thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. David, the little shepherd boy, he said to Saul the king, let no man worry about it. He said, I'll go and I'll take care of this Philistine. David said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took the lamb out of the flock. I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, I fought a lion, I fought a bear, and God gave me power to whip both of them, and I slew them. I grabbed them by the beard and slew them. This Philistine giant is no greater than my God. David had a backbone. Amen. Thank God for men like David. David said, the Philistine giant doesn't have the power that my God has. Here's a whole army of men. These are men of Israel. They're warriors. They're fighters. And they're standing there afraid of this one Philistine giant. Listen, let me say to you this evening, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to borrow your mind for just a minute. As we think on these things that we're reading tonight, as we picture America in our mind tonight, there's many battles that we fought. There's many lions that we fought. There's many bears that we fought as Christians in America. Y'all help me just a little bit. There's been many things that we have fought. We've stood against and we fought and we stood against and we fought. And our forefathers fought for the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. They fought for those things. We fought those lions. We fought those bears. Listen real closely. We're living in a day now. We're facing a giant. We're facing a giant in our day. It seems like as we look at this thing, that nobody wants to attack that giant. The pastors behind the pulpits are getting to where they don't want to say anything to offend anybody. They just want to get that paycheck and keep their parsonage. That's the only thing they're concerned with. Y'all know me by now. You know how I feel about that. I'll keep working a full-time job as long as you'll let me preach the truth. Amen. Listen, we need some people in this day to stand against the giant. Amen. If there's only one that will go in the power of God, God will intervene. Amen. Stay with me. I'm trying to help us tonight. I told you I didn't have any notes. I'm just trying to mind the Lord. We see this giant in our land. We have fought the lions and the bears in the political realm, in the spiritual battles we've had. We have done that for years and centuries. We have fought those lions and bears. Now this giant has come up against us, and this giant is defiling the armies of God. This giant has come on the scene and says, hey, listen, everything that you do offends me. We'll take that to the court, and then that wickedness in the courthouse will go with them and vote for them and say that, hey, okay, they're right. You Christians are wrong. You need to sit down and shut up. And everybody is cowering down under this giant that we're facing in this day. Everybody is cowering down because it seems to be something that we can't do anything about. Brother Roland shared with me in the prayer room and said, preacher, everywhere I've been, they sit there and say, well, there's just nothing we can do. That God will intervene. Hey, listen, God uses His people. Amen. God uses His people. What did God do when the Philistine giant comes out? He used one of His children. Amen. By the name of David. It was a little guy. Hey, David didn't have great powers and a big name. He was just a sheep keeper, a little shepherd boy. And God greatly used him. God uses His people. When the battle's on, amen, we need some people that'll stand up against the giant. David said unto Saul, hey, I've kept my father's sheep. And hey, listen, there came a lion, there came a bear.
took the lamb out of the flock. I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew it. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Boy, I'm telling you, we ought to go to the polls and vote and say this giant we're facing in this day, he's going to be as those that we fought before, that we've battled before. He's going to be like the lion and the bear, and he's going to go down just like the rest of them because he has defied the armies of God. Servant slew both the lion and the bear. David said, moreover, in verse 37, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Hey, listen, Paul. David said that paw of that bear that looked like it had it had a grip on that sheep. It had a grip on, had it in his mouth. And David said, I smote him and took him out of his mouth. Because God gave him the power to do so. God gave him the power to fight. God gave him the strength to do that. God gave him the courage to stand up in the face of adversity. God gave him the strength and God gave him the power. And he fought that lion and bear and smote him, the Bible says. David said, just as I smote that lion and that bear, I'll take this Philistine on. I ain't scared of this giant. Listen, can I say this evening? If we don't ever fight any bears and lions in this life, we'll never defeat any giants. Y'all with me? If every time some opposition comes at us and we cower down and we back away and we don't fight and don't stand, every time that happens, we'll never defeat the giants in our life. The church needs some people that will have a backbone as David did and said, this giant has defied the armies of God. And we will not sit back idly by and let him try to destroy the work of God. Not going to do it. Amen. I think I'm going to give everybody a t-shirt that says Heritage Baptist Church, the devil ain't going to do it. Amen. We're not going to let him. Amen. We're not going to let him defeat us. Hey, listen. We don't have to be defeated. Amen. We don't have to live a defeated life. Don't cower down because of their threats that they bring them. Here comes this Philistine giant with his threats. Hey, you send me somebody. Give me a man and I'll kill him. I'm a big man. I'm big and bad. Hey, he was big and bad, no doubt. Amen. He says, send him to me and I'll kill him. And if I kill him, you'll serve me. If he kills me, then we'll serve you. And that's where we're at in our day. Homosexuals in the lesbian crowd are saying, you join us or else. That's what they're saying. Maybe not in so many words, but that's what they're trying to say. Hey, the church offends them. The Bible offends them. It upsets them and it offends them. And that's the giant we're facing in our day. They're trying now. They're saying they're going to take the tax exemption away from the church. And the church will have to start paying taxes. Well, praise be unto God. If I got to start paying taxes, honey, I can work two jobs if I need to. Amen. Amen. We're still going to preach the truth. We're going to stand and we're going to stay. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand. We're going to stay even if we have to pay. Amen. I'm not trying to be mean tonight. I'm just trying to encourage you. David said, hey, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Let me say to you, if the Lord's with you, honey, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Amen. Saul armed David with his armor. Watch this now. Saul armed David with his armor, put a helmet of brass on his head, and also armed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor and sailed to go, for it had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I've not proved them. David put them off him. Listen, I want to back up and tag on Brother Kenny's message this morning. Brother Kenny this morning talked about putting off the old and putting on the new. Here they put on this armor for David. There was things that they had for David that Saul had given David to take with him when he went to this battle. And listen, there's a crowd Let me borrow your minds, please, for just a minute. There's a crowd that thinks there's so much you have to do before you ever go to battle. They think that you've got to go through these traditions and these rituals, and you got to do all this stuff before you ever get to battle. Listen, they think that you've got to follow the leader before you ever go to battle. You've got to follow your attorney general. You've got to follow him and abide by his lead if you go to battle. But listen, there's some things in those leaders we need to put off. What fits them don't fit us. Amen. Y'all with me? What fits them don't fit us. Amen. What fits them don't fit us. And David said, hey, I can't take these things with me to battle. I've got to put this stuff off. It's weighting me down, man. I can't fight like this. And I say to you, if I had to stand with the Catholic Church, I'd have to put that off. I can't fight like that. Amen. Y'all with me?
Amen.
If I had to stand with the Presbyterian Church, I can't fight like that. I don't believe like they do. Amen. Some of these things we have to put off from us. So many people have so many things that's hindering them from fighting the battle. Well, there's a whole area there I could preach in. I don't want to go that direction because I don't have time. David put these things off. They was hindering him. Can I say this to you tonight, church? Whatever's hindering you, put it off. Brother Kenny preached that this morning. I'm not going to re-preach his message. He preached that this morning on putting off those things that hinder you. Whatever's hindering you in your fight, in your battle. Hey, listen, the Lord's got a fight for us. He's got a battle for us. And whatever it is that's hindering us from fighting for the Lord, put that off. Because there's a battle to fight. Amen. There's a battle to fight. David said, I had to put that off. The Bible says David put it off. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. Sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Philistine came on, drew near unto David. The man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about, he saw David, disdained him. You know what that means? He counted him worthless. He counted him as not a threat. Can I preach right there for just a minute? You know what this homosexual lesbian crowd thinks of us? They disdain us. They look at us as not a threat. We're worthless. There's nothing to us. That God that we serve, that God that we preach, there's nothing to Him because He's not going to do anything. Those Christians are just going to stand idly by. There's only 3% of homosexuals in North Carolina, and they're beginning to disdain us and say that we're worthless. They're not going to do anything. Philistine giant looked at David and says, that? You sent that to fight me? You know what they're saying as they look at the church? Boy, it's a disgrace to God. It's a disgrace to Jesus Christ. When that wicked crowd, that unworthy crowd, the wicked crowd, the devil's crowd, when they look at the church, they look at the church and they say, that's what you sent after me. The devil sits back and says, I wouldn't worry about them. Disdains us. Church has no effect. It's a sad day in America when the church has no effect. That's exactly right. Church won't stand together. Church has no effect. That crowd looks at us and they disdain us. As that Philistine giant looks at David, the Bible says he disdained, when he saw him, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. Philistine said unto David, the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staffs? Philistine cursed David by his gods. You know what they're doing to us in these days? They're cursing us by their gods. They're cursing the church and says that the church is worthless. Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. Watch your Bibles. I'm going to run if it be all right. He says, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defiest. Listen, they can come at us with all their accusations. They can come at us with their swords and with their spears. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I stand on the Word of God. I stand on the truth of God. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as David did. He comes out to fight the battle. He says, hey, you can bring all that stuff you got. Bring it on. That's all right. I'm a coming in the name of the Lord. Amen. That's what we need to be tonight. We need to be coming out and standing in the name of Jesus Christ. What makes you do what you do? What makes you who you are? Why should we go to those polls? Because I'm coming to these polls in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. When it comes time to go vote November the 4th, I want them to know whenever I get there, I just might make me a sign and carry it as I go in. I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that'd be good. I think that'd upset the whole crowd. That'd make the devil good and mad. I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm here to vote for my Lord. That ain't going to work, is it? That's a blowing in my microphone. That's like a hurricane just come by. Coming in the name of the Lord. Philistine said to David, come to me. I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said to him in verse 45, I come in the name of the Lord. Armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day, verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand. I will smite thee, take thy head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me say to you tonight, we need to take a stand and let the world know there's still a God. Amen. There is a God in America. There's a God that still cares. There's a God that still can. There's a God, hallelujah. We need to tell the world that there's still a God. Amen.
Amen.
There's still a God. Hallelujah. And all the assembly shall know the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear. Listen now, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. And I say something tonight, I'm going to say it anyway. That crowd that we're facing, that battle belongs to the Lord. You and I understand that. The battle's the Lord's. He needs somebody to stand up. Somebody that's not afraid of that giant. That'll stand him face to face. Eyeball to eyeball. That'd be pretty hard with a 9 foot tall dude, especially somebody that's my size. Face him head on. I'm not going to back down. Because this is the Lord's battle. And if God's put me here to fight against you, if God has put us here to fight against that, God will give us the strength. God will give us the stones. Whoop! That's good stuff right there, amen. If God has put us here to fight that battle, God will give us the stones. He'll give us the strength. I'm going to work on another message. That's pretty good right there. Amen. Let me write that down. For the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. Came to pass when the Philistine arose and came near and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in a bag and took thence a stone and slang it. I like that. He's a good southern boy, wasn't he? Slang it. Smote the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. The Bible says that David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. Smote the Philistine and slew him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood on the Philistine and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistine saw their champion was dead and they fled. You know what is amazing about this? It's five smooth stones that David had that God gave him to use. And I tell you tonight that God's used small things to fight big battles. God's used small things to fight big battles. Preacher, who am I? What am I? What can I do? What difference can I make? God has used small things to fight big battles. God used small people to fight big battles. Amen? Let me give you this real quickly. God used the rod in Exodus chapter 4 to fight a big battle. Y'all remember that? God used the jawbone in Judges chapter 15 to fight a battle. God used here in this passage of Scripture five smooth stones that take but one, but He gave Him five. You know what five is, don't you? It's the number of grace. Whoop! Just write that down the fly leaf of your Bible. Whoop! Goes right there. Handful of flour and a little oil, the 1 Kings chapter 17 that God used. A cloud the size of a man's hand in 1 Kings chapter 18. John chapter 6 and verse 9, God used five barley loaves to feed the thousands. God uses little things to fight big battles. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for us to go to the polls and to vote biblical values? Is there not a cause for us to encourage others to study and to find out who they're voting for and vote for the right party? Listen, throw away the Republican Party ticket and the Democratic Party ticket and all that garbage. Throw that mess out the window. Oh, but preacher, I've always voted Republican. You need to get over that. You need to study your Bible and you need to study them individuals and vote biblical values. Amen? Well, it's a money issue with the Democrats. Get over it. Amen? That's good preaching right there. Well, you ain't supposed to be politically, broadcasting. I'm not. I'm just telling you. Get over that stuff. Study your Bible and study those individuals and vote for those that have biblical values that can make a difference in office. Oh, but if we put them in there, they'll just get overturned. But we don't have enough of them in there. That's the problem. We've sat idly by and just let them do whatever. And we try to vote those straight tickets and we don't even consider who we're putting in office. It's time we fight the battle.
Amen.
It's time we stood up. Listen, is there not a cause? David said when that giant come out, defying the armies of God. David said, is there not a cause? My soul, son, there's a cause. There's a reason why we need to vote. There's a reason why we need to stand in these days. Amen. There's a reason why we need to let our voices be heard. Amen. Oh, but preacher, I'm not anybody. Well, I'm not either, but still don't cower down to them.
Amen.
Good preaching. Thank you. Let me read this to you. Let me read this to you. The following was taken from a book, I Refuse to Be Silent. Writer says homosexuality shattered her marriage, her family. This was Christian News Network, October the 13th, 2014. A mother and writer has generated much discussion following the publication of an article in which she shares her personal story of how homosexuality and same-sex marriage shattered her own marriage and family. I Refuse to Be Silent. Janet Darnell, J-A-N-N-A, Darnell. It's a pen name they use, that's her name that they put in here. It's a pen name, it's not a real name. Who states that behind many of the happy photographs and reports on same-sex marriage, there are untold stories of sorrow and pain. I represent one of those real life stories that are kept in the shadows. I have personally felt the pain and devastation wrought by the propaganda that destroys natural families. Darnell recalled that in 2007, her husband announced to her that he believed that he was a homosexual, that he wanted to file for divorce. In an instant, the world that I had known and loved, the life that we had built together, was shattered. Advising that she argued her husband to stay and fight for the marriage. But my voice, my desires, my needs, and those of our two young children no longer mattered to him. We had become disposable because he had embraced one tiny word. And that word is gay. that had become his entire identity. She said that when the matter went to court, her husband sought primary custody of the couple's children and asserted that he deserved everything that he wanted in a divorce because he was a homosexual. He was granted his request and later went on to marry his male partner with the children present. A photograph was taken and featured in USA Today. Commentaries exclaimed at how beautiful this gay family was and congratulated my ex-husband and his new partner on the family they created.
Y'all see anything wrong with that? Just a little bit.
There was a significant person missing from these pictures. It was the mother, the abandoned wife. I am missing from these pictures. But I am real. And I represent hundreds upon thousands of spouses who have been betrayed and rejected. She later expressed concern about the life that the children are now exposed to and how it might affect their physique and as they try to understand their own manhood and their own womanhood. Her husband and children live in a condo with 16 other homosexual men. My children are brought to gay parties where they are the only children and where only alcoholic beverages are served. They are taken to transgender baseball games, gay rights fundraisers, and LGBT film festivals. My daughter needs a dad who will encourage her to embrace her femininity, however you say that word, embrace her womanhood, amen, and beauty. But these qualities are distorted in her father's world. Her dad wears makeup. And I'm not going to read that other statement, that other sentence right there for the sake of the kids right there. I'm not going to say that. She is often exposed to men dressing as women. Darnell explains that she understands that when a spouse announces that he or she is struggling with same-sex attractions, it may be difficult for them to resist temptation, but they must. Just as a man who lusts for a woman who is not his wife, he must resist that lust. Do what is right for the sake of their own wedding vows. May I present to you tonight, Heritage Baptist Church, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? There's some sickness in this world. There's some wickedness in this world. There's children around that need God, that need the love of Christ. Is there not a cause? Find that there's many things going on in our day. I had several news articles I wanted to try to read tonight, but I don't think I will. You can find most of that stuff. If you look it up, you'll find it. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What about those two precious little children that because of the dad's decision has wrecked and ruined their life? Is there not a cause? What about the grandbabies? What about the children that's going to grow up in this society that we're living in? My daughter's getting married and Chris are getting married Saturday. What about their children? Is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Y'all with me? What about little Noah and little Hannah? Is there not a cause? What about the little one that's not here yet? My soul, is there not a cause? Yes, there's a cause. Precious children that's going to be left behind to straighten out this mess we've made. The Bible says that David fought that giant. The power of the Lord, he stood against him. Tonight we need to stand up for what is right and face our giant. The Bible says the children of Israel returned from chasing after Philistines. They spoiled their tents. David took the head of that Philistine and brought it into Jerusalem. He put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, Whose son is this youth? Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. The king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. He's a fighter. He's a little guy, but boy, he's a fighter. He comes back undefeated. I want to share that message with you tonight just simply because God put it on my heart. And there's a cause. There was a giant in the land. There's a giant in our land. We're facing probably some of the biggest stuff we've ever faced in America. We're facing some of the biggest losses. Y'all with me? We're facing some of the biggest losses. If we lose our religious freedom, man only knows. Man only knows. If we lose our religious freedom, if we lose our freedom of speech, those pastors in Texas took a stand whenever that lesbian mayor said, you need to submit your sermon notes and all the things that you said about me and about our transgender activities and all that bunch of garbage. You need to surrender all that stuff. And those pastors stood up and said, we will not do it. That's a breach of our amendment rights. Amen? Amen? We have a freedom of religion. We've got a freedom of speech. And we can preach what we want because this is how we function. This is who we are. My understanding, Brother Roland was telling me that she has recanted now, backed off of her demands. Most of it. I hadn't heard recently, but I'm telling you, in the days we're living in, there is a cause. There is a cause. If it's nothing for us, what about the little guys? What about the children? What about the next generation? Preacher, I don't think that the world's going to stand that long. Well, I don't either. But in the event that it does, I encourage you tonight, find your place on an altar and ask God, what can I do? God, what can I do to help fight this giant? Don't be like those men of Israel that was warriors and fighters. Don't be like them and be sorely afraid. Cower down before this giant. Say, boy, there ain't nothing I can do. This is bigger than I am. I promise you tonight, it's much bigger than I am. It's way over my head. Well, that'll help, but it ain't bigger than my God. This giant we're facing is not bigger than my God. And did you know that this thing that we're facing, this giant that we're facing, it's never occurred to God. Because he's all-knowing. He already knew. He already knows what's going to happen. It's our choice as God's people. What are we going to do? We're going to be overtaken by that. We're going to let this giant beat us? I'm not. If he beats me, it's going to be because he's just beaten. He's going to have to beat. I've always been that way, and I'm not a brawler. Please understand that. I don't look for fights. But if I get in one, that dude's going to have to whoop me. I mean, that's the only way I'm going down. He's just going to have to be a man and whoop me. And I've went down a time or two, and that didn't feel too good. But I've put a few men down myself, and I'm not bragging. By no means. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you. If this thing that we're facing in America, if it beats us, we can hold our heads up high and say, I didn't lay down and take a beating. I stood my ground, and my God's pleased with me. Amen? My God's pleased with me. I fought for the Lord. I went at this thing with the power of God's might, and I stood my ground, and I made the Lord proud of His child because I didn't back down. I'm a firm believer tonight that we can beat this giant. I firmly believe it. Based upon the authority and the power of God, I believe we can beat it. Some people have made the comment, said, preacher, we've already lost. They've already voted and we've already lost. Don't you believe that? That's a lie of the devil. We ain't lost nothing yet. What's going to tickle me to death is whenever they come back and say, hey, those licensed use folks got in North Carolina, well, now they're null and void and they ain't no good and y'all ain't married anymore. Whoop! Amen. I'll shout all the way to the church house, amen. Well, preacher, you think that? Yeah, I think that can happen. Yeah. I really do. Christine, come to the piano. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I appreciate your attention tonight. I really do. I want to encourage everybody that's here, if you can possibly get on your knees at this altar. If you can't get on your knees, if you'd come and sit on the front row, that'd be fine. Let's get to our cases. We'll move them out of the way, whatever we need to do. I want to encourage everybody, if you can get up here to the front, let's come tonight and pray. God, what can I do against this giant? God, help me to stand and face this giant. Not to cower down. Not to be discouraged. Not to be sorely afraid. God, give me strength. Stand in these days.